pleasant to see each and every one of you. We certainly welcome you here, and I'm thankful to have you in our presence. Feel very much this morning led to a passage that's found in the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the 7th chapter of the book of Luke. We'll begin reading right at verse 1. And this is another account left on record for us in the life of Jesus, that of all the things that Jesus did, I always, as I've mentioned many times before, love to think about the times that are recorded in the Scripture. Of all the wonderful miracles the Lord did, there's just a few that are recorded in the Word of God. And of all the things that could have been written, the world would not have contained the books of all the things that could have been written about the life of Jesus. And so what we have before us in the Bible is a very, very special book. It's a book that's been given to us by Almighty God. It's been preserved for us to let us know the things that we really need to know as we live here in this world. It is only a little bit of what we will know one day when we're seeing the Lord face to face and with Him in heaven. We'll know as we're known. We'll not only understand the things that are given to us here in the Word of God, which we'll never search out while we're here in this world, but we'll know all the things, all the wonderful works of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's ever done. I believe not only in the lives of those during the Bible times, but in our own lives. I believe we'll know every good thing the Lord has done. And every bit of that will be to the praise and the glory of God. And in heaven, that's all that's going to happen, is the praise of God. We're going to be praising God in heaven forever and ever. And that is absolutely the happiest God's little children there ever be in this world, is when they're praising the Lord. When we praise the Lord, and when should we praise the Lord? All the time, in every situation, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we have every reason this morning to praise the Lord, no matter what's going on in our lives. And if we're doing that, we're as happy as we can be when we're praising the Lord. It's a happy people that know the joyful sound. It's a joyous people that make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that's what we did this morning in our songs. But it's not only in our songs we do that. I hope we do it with our conversation. I hope we do it with when we're with our families. I hope we do it when we're on a job. I hope we do it in our life. I hope we're understanding that our lives belong to Him, and our purposeful existence in this world is really to give Him honor and praise and glory. That doesn't mean we can't function and do the things that we need to do to make our living here in this world. It means as we do them, we're to remember where every good thing comes from and who's the one who gives us our strength and our help and our abilities. And rather than trusting in ourselves, we're going to trust in the Lord. And that's part of what my responsibility as a minister is to remind you again every time I get the opportunity from the Word of God, to remind you to trust in the Lord with all your heart and to lean not on your own understanding. And I just pray the Lord will help us to do that even as we look at this passage this morning. What we have here is an account of a centurion who was blessed by the grace of God to put his trust in the Lord and the Lord's deliverance for him and for those that he knew and were around him. We read about that in Luke chapter 7. You'll also find this account written in Matthew chapter 8. I encourage you to read that. We might mention that somewhat this morning. But Luke chapter 7, he begins, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when he came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man sent under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these sayings, he marveled at him. He turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Now Jesus had just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount when he went here to Capernaum. And we read about that in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, right to the beginning of chapter 8. And you can read in detail. Some of it is also recorded in Luke's Gospel just before this. All the wonderful teachings of the Lord were given, and he had laid out to them as his disciples how they were to live. And now he had ended his sayings in the audience of the people, and he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Now, this man had a friend that was sick, and we can relate to that when we have loved ones who are sick and they're dear to us. And we need help for them. We do anything we could for them. If they needed to go to the doctor, we'd certainly take them to the doctor. If they needed medicine, we'd certainly bring them medicine. If something we thought we could help them with, we would try to help them. And no doubt this centurion had done everything that he could for his servant, which shows a kind of a unique relationship in itself. That the centurion, being a man, as a centurion, he was a soldier. And he was a soldier that had, as a centurion, the word means 100. He had at least 100 soldiers under him. He had some position of authority, and he also had a servant. And so we have a servant and a master relationship. But it wasn't just a servant and a master, because some masters who had a servant that was sick would just go find them another servant, because they looked at them as if they owned them. And in a sense, in that day and time, they did own them. And so they saw them as property, and once the property went bad, just like you go out and buy a new car, when your car breaks down, you just see it as your property. You know, some of them we get attached to, and we try to work on the car and fix it up because it means a lot to us. But for the most part, if it's broken down, we'll sell it, get rid of it, get what we can out of it, and just get us a new one. Well, there was more to this relationship than just a servant and a master. I believe there was a love that this man had for his servant, and no doubt a love that the servant had for his master. And even in that relationship, that I'm not condoning by any means, but I'm saying even in that relationship, there was an affection that they had that went beyond just natural things. I believe there was a spiritual tie that they had here. And the reason I believe that is because this centurion was obviously a spiritual man. And what do you mean by a spiritual man? I mean there was more going on in his life than just nature. And I hope and pray today as we communicate with one another, there's more going on in your life than just nature. If it's only nature that we're going to talk about today, we won't need to be here very long, because there's not a whole lot to talk about. I can really sum it up in a few words. We're a mess, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's no good in us. Not a little bit of good, not some ability, not some strength, not some spiritual understanding, but we are totally contrary to the will and the way of God, and therefore we wouldn't be concerned about anybody but us. We'd be worried about me. This man was not worried. He wasn't coming to Jesus for himself, which, by the way, I don't want you to think for a minute that's wrong to do. I hope I can make that clear today. That it's not wrong for us to go to the Lord for ourselves. We have many examples for those who were in great need. There was a leper who came to Jesus because he knew there was no one else who could help his situation. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus was able to heal the leper. The leper came for himself. There were many others that we could point to. That blind Bartimaeus was crying out. He wasn't crying out because somebody else was blind, though there were some other friends with him that were also blind and needed it. But blind Bartimaeus needed healing himself, so he cried out to the Son of David, to the Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he cried out to him for help because he knew he needed help to be able to see, and there was no one that could help him but the Lord, and he knew that. I hope today you and I can say, and I hope you understand, there's nobody that can really help you but the Lord. I hope you know that today. Now I can tell you that. I can say it to you. I can lay it out real clear. I can say it from the Word of God. There's no one that can help me. Where could I go but to the Lord? When I'm in this old world and I'm in trouble, who can I really turn to count on all the time, every time, without ever failing? Now, yes, there are others that the Lord has put in their lives that has been great help to us. We could name them. I can think of a sweet mama who was there for me and a sweet dad who was there for me. And I can think of many in my life that have been there for me. But every one of them, according to the Bible, are mine, not because I did something or they did something. It's because the Lord, there's a special relationship that we have. Why? The same reason there's a relationship between this master and his servant, the same reason we have relationships that help us in this world. The author of all those good things is every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. That means you got a lot of good things going on in your life. You have it, don't you? I know sometimes you may feel like you don't. There may be times where you can't see them and you're not looking at them, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. That means your eyes of faith are maybe closed and you need to open them and stop looking at things through the eyes of the flesh, which the eyes of the flesh cannot even see when good comes. You're never satisfied. Even when you have so many wonderful blessings, you're never satisfied with the many blessings that you have. But faith allows you to see, as that verse that you sent to me says, unless I had believed, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, when I see and remember what the Lord has done to me, I see all the good things that He supplied to me in my life. And when I start counting my blessings and start naming them one by one, and isn't it wonderful just to think about how good the Lord has been to us? We just came past through the holiday called Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving isn't a day that you just sit around once a year. It should be a life. Everything we do, every life. I say to God's little children, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be celebrated every single day. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be celebrated every day. And the thanksgiving that we have towards God, it ought to be every day, all day long. To thank Him in the morning, to thank Him in the evening, and thank Him all day long. And I'll tell you, the more that you thank Him, the more you'll see to be that which you have to be thankful for. And most of the things that really trouble us are the blessings that He's allowed us to have for a while, that He suffers for a little while for us not to have. And that makes us even more mindful of what He has done. Y'all all agree with me, the Lord has done great things, don't you? He made the heavens and the earth. And He's the one who created it, and I believe this little centurion knew it. And I don't believe he knew it, not because he was raised in the right school, not because his mom and daddy taught him that, not because he learned it. This was a Roman Gentile. He was not a Jew, but I believe he had a love for the Jewish people. Probably a proselyte, a one who had converted to Judaism and was a Gentile, taking as part as much as he could in the religion of the Jews. And he was, even from the words of the Jews, as we read here, that came to Jesus, he was in their eyes a good man. They said, he's worthy. But they didn't really understand a whole lot, did they? Because they came to Jesus and said, you know, he's worthy for you to help. Now, is that the way we really ought to approach the Lord on behalf of one of God? We know better than that, don't we, from the Word of God? But see, if you're caught up in a works doctrine today, The works doctrine will tell you, you need to do this, and if you do this, then that makes you worthy. And you need to believe, and if you believe, that makes you worthy. Or you need to be baptized, and if you're baptized, that makes you worthy. Or you need to do this or some other thing, and if you'll just do this or some other thing, that will make you worthy. What the true gospel says, that there is none of us who are worthy of anything from the Lord, as we sang a hymn. I don't know too many places you'll sing a hymn, "If he sent my soul to hell, his righteous law would approve it well." Is that the way you understand today your condition? That if I got today from the Lord what I deserved, I would be cast away from Him eternally and never have a single blessing in my life, because I am a mess. I have sinned against Him. I not only have done it, I still do it. Even when I would do good and I try to do my best, there's a lot wrong with me. Are you like that? Well, you're just as blind as blind Bartimaeus. And you can't get yourself sight. And you're just as dead as Lazarus. And you can't give yourself life. The only one who can give me life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who can open my eyes is the one who opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus. The only one who can heal my leprosy is the one who touched a leper. The only one who can help me is the one who can help the centurion. And it's the one you and I have to look to, the only one we can lean to. And that's why I'm saying to you again, one more time, you trust in Him with all your heart and you don't lean to your own understanding. And the more we try to handle it, the more mess we're going to make. And the more we turn it over to the Lord, the more strength He's going to give us. And He'll give us the strength to be what we're supposed to be in this world. As daddies, as mamas, as workers, as people who are employing others, who are working for them. He'll teach you in your life all that you need to know. And as we look to Him, we'll find what we need so that we can live our lives honoring and praising Him. And if you're praising Him, you might be sick, but you can still be happy. If you're praising Him, things might not be going well, but you'll still be all right. If you're praising Him, you're in the place where He has you. And as long as you're here in this world, you're pleasing the Lord as you're praising Him and trusting in Him. And one day, He's going to carry us out of this old troubled world anyway, and we're going to be with Him in heaven forever to praise Him. And that's really what it's all about. Pretty simple, isn't it? Not very complicated. And if we can get that understanding about life, we can find the same peace that this centurion found by exercising the faith that God gave him and believing and trusting in the Lord. This certain centurion servant who was dear unto him, that means he loved him very much, and he was sick. He had the palsy. Over in Matthew 8, you'll find that he was lying in a bed. He could not only just move one hand, he couldn't move either hand. And when you can't move one hand, it's really good to have another hand that you can move and to think that it's kind of like I've been having some weakness in my legs from the sciatica, but I'm thankful the pain is pretty much gone. And you know, and when you've had the pain, you're glad the pain's gone, even if you have the weakness. Do I want the weakness to go? Absolutely. But I know this, if I had the two to deal with, I'd much rather have the weakness than I would the pain. The pain is gone and I have some weakness, but I know who can take care of that as well, if it's His will. And if it's not His will, that if it is His will that for a little bit I have this little bit of suffering to do in this time world, He gives me a glimpse of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ that He did for me on the cross. It makes me more mindful of all the good things that He has done for me and all the blessings that I do have. I'm thankful to be able to be here this morning and be able to stand here and talk to you. And if I couldn't stand, I could sit down and talk to you. And right now, the way I feel in my life, He'll just bless me to preach and give me the ability to do that. And if I can't do anything else, it'll still be a blessing. It's the most important thing I have to do in my life, is to talk to you this morning. I hope you understand that. We have a wonderful Lord who has blessed us so richly. And this centurion understood that. And he had the faith to understand it. Where did he get that faith from? Mama didn't give it to him. Daddy didn't give it to him. They might have wanted to, but they couldn't. It had to come from the Lord. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith isn't something I can share with you or preach into you. Faith cometh by hearing, but hearing by the Word of God. The Lord has to put that faith, the principle of faith, in you. And then as you preach the gospel, that gospel has something to land on, and that's your faith. And as you hear this truth, you're to believe this truth. And if you have the ability, I see it in your face, you have this ability, you believe it, you trust in Him, you lean on Him and depend upon Him, and you'll find the same deliverance in this time world that this centurion found as he trusted and leaned upon the Lord. And he knew, I can't fix my friend. I can't fix my servant. I just can't go out and buy another servant. He's been a good servant to me. I love him. He's dear to me. And don't we have friends like that? We just don't want to give them up. We don't want to lose them. And sometimes it's God's will that they be called out of this old troubled world and go home to be with the Lord. But it is also important that we're praying for one another, because it says this in the Bible, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And what that means is the prayer of faith availeth much. The prayer of a believer availeth much. The prayer of one who's trusting in the Lord avails much. And so if you trust and depend upon the Lord and you're leaning upon Him, your prayers are heard in heaven. Not because you deserve them to be, but because God has so designed it that by prayer you have faith. By faith you have access into this grace wherein you're able to stand. We're able to approach the Lord. Today you have audience in heaven. You think, what can I do about the situation? You can pray. And through and by and through the intercession that's made for you through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done, He hears your voice in heaven, our feeble cries, even the parts that are messed up, He takes and straightens up so that it's heard. And we say, Lord, nevertheless, not our will, but Thy will be done. Isn't it wonderful that we have that kind of friend? Brother Terry loves the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I love that song too. You know why? Because it's true. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a friend who gave His life for you on Calvary's tree. He's a friend who will never let you alone. He's a friend when you turn your back on Him, He'll never turn His back on you. When you walk away, He'll never leave you alone. If He's ever loved you, He'll always love you. And His love, for God so loved the world, He loved every one of His elect children. And He came not to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. That means that He would deliver that world. He would deliver them in heaven and immortal glory. And He'll take care of that world. That's the world of His elect family. Everyone that He loved in covenant, not just everybody in general that maybe somebody He'd have, but He loved His children in particular, every one of them, and nothing will ever separate them from His love. And this centurion was one that He loved. How do we know that? Because we see him calling upon the Lord. And if the Lord had not loved him, he'd have never called upon the Lord. He would have never known to call upon the Lord. He would have never had the will to call upon the Lord. He wouldn't have had the ability to call upon the Lord. All of that came to him because somewhere in his life, he was born of the Spirit of God. Why did he have a love for the Jewish people? Because he had a relationship with the Jewish God. See, the God of the Old Testament, isn't this good? The God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. Not a new God. There's a lot of ideas and thoughts in this world that there's a God in the Old Testament that's different than the God in the New Testament. They're preaching the Apostle Paul over and over again is always pointing to the Scriptures, the Old Testament, to point to the truth of the New Testament. And he pointed to the types and the shadows of the Old Testament to say what Jesus was coming to do. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ. The Bible itself points to Jesus Christ, every word of it, if it's rightly divided. And I'm telling you, what a great blessing that is today, that we have this truth before us. And he says, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. The Bible says he was grievously tormented. I don't know what that meant exactly altogether, whether it meant his affliction was just so much that he was out of it, or whether he was hurting all over. I tend to think it's the latter of the two, when one is grievously tormented. And you know that his desire was that he would be relieved. Isn't it good to know when you're in the troubles like that, you got one who can relieve it? We got one we can go to, one we can lean upon. I encourage you today. You cast all your care upon him. Cast your burden on the Lord. And then you leave it there. Don't pick it up. Don't roll it back in. In all thy ways. Psalm 37. I can't ever get that word. But I can look it up. Commit. I should be able to remember that word. It's not that hard a word. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Have you done that? That's something to do. Commit your way. What does that mean? That means roll it over onto Him. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, lead me. Lord, help me this morning. Help me as I'm preaching. Lord, help me as you're sitting hearing the preaching. Lord, as I've got the troubles I've got to face this week, help me, Lord. Don't let me just get in a place where I just realize there's. Sometimes He brings us to a place we know there's no other way to go. We just have to trust in Him. That's why we can glory in tribulations also. Because those tribulations work things in us that we are made to think on Him. But rather than having to go through all that, let's just commit our way unto the Lord. He says in Psalm 37 verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Do we believe that? I believe that. What does that say? It says He shall bring it to pass. Does it say He might bring it to pass? No. Does it say He might fail? No. Does it say you'll be ashamed or you will not? You'll be dissatisfied that you trusted in Him? No. When we turn it over to the Lord, we can be at rest about it, knowing it's in the Lord's hands. And you and I are oftentimes sitting here trying, worrying, troubled about things, and we can't, by worrying, add one cubit to our stature. We can't put one hair back on our head. We can't fix a bump on our face. We can't do anything. But when we trust in the Lord, He's able to do above, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. So why are we so troubled? This doesn't mean sit back and do nothing. It means be active in the service of God, but you commit your way to the Lord. This centurion, I believe, had probably done everything he could in any natural way to help his servant. And anything he could have done, he would have done it. But he's in a position nobody can help him now except one. And he knew who that one was. Do you know who the one is today? You know, a lot of men would say, well, let me introduce you to him if you don't know him. I'm telling you, for me to think I can introduce you to him would be an awful, bold thought for me, wouldn't it? I'm telling you, one who introduces himself to every little lad promise. He doesn't wait for a preacher to do it. He can do it with a babe in the womb and has done it. He can do it with a thief on a cross. He can do it in his time and in his way. And he doesn't need any man to help him. We are not to teach one another to know the Lord. For the Scripture says, for they all who shall know Him, they all shall know Me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. We don't believe in a God who needs man's help to be introduced to anybody. We believe in a God who has the power to knock down your wall and mess up your playhouse and cause you to know and understand. Though you thought you were something, He will cause you to know and understand, without Me, ye are nothing. You understand that today? Then He's knocked down your playhouse and He's allowed you to see that which only He can see. And so what does that mean? That means we've seen the mirror. James, I tried to talk about last night. It's like a man who looks at his face in a glass and walks away and forgets what manner of man he was. That is the man that looks into Scripture and sees what he is and then walks away, just like if he's a hearer of the word and not a doer. That means we hear this, but then it doesn't affect us. I want it to have some impact and effect on you. And if you can see these things, live like you've looked in the mirror. You see what you are. Is there any reason for me to trust in me when I've looked in the mirror? I can look in the mirror and fix myself up all that I can, and usually it helps me if I take my glasses off because I don't see all the blemishes and if the light's not too dark, too bright. But if you get in a good bright mirror with a good pair of glasses on and you turn the lights on, you know what you see in that mirror? You see every bump, every blemish, everything that's wrong. But it would be silly for me to look in that mirror and then go out thinking I'm something else. That would just be ignoring the reality. And the reality is today, listen, little child of God, the reality is today you can't make it without Him. I can't make it a moment without Him. I can't be who I'm supposed to be as a granddaddy without Him. I can't be what I should be as His child without Him. I need Him. He's my Heavenly Father. And I'm His not because I chose Him, but because he chose me. Isn't that good to know? He chose you. When did he do that? Before the foundation of the world. And why did he do that? I don't know, other than he saw fit to do it. It was his good pleasure to do it. It was his will to do it. He had a love for you. He's always had a love for you. And he will never not love you. He didn't pick his bride like I picked my bride. I picked one that I thought was pretty, that I could live with and enjoy life with. That's how I picked my bride. When he picked his bride, he didn't choose her based on anything she was. He chose her because he loved her. And then he made her beautiful. He took her when she was in a state of death and enemy and made her beautiful. He made her look like him. Most husbands, that wouldn't be a good thing to make your bride look like you. That wouldn't be a good thing at all. But I'm telling you, this husband, he's more lovely. He's everything. And if we could be more like him, if I could act like him, talk like him, walk better, walk more like him, walk better than I am. This centurion, he was in Matthew's gospel, it sounds like he came in person to Jesus, but he didn't come in person to Jesus, and we don't have a conflict in the scripture. He sent messengers, which is the same as him coming. He sent them with a message. He came to Jesus through the messengers that he sent. That's why when you read Matthew 8 and Luke 7, you don't really have a conflict. It sounds like Jesus is speaking directly to the centurion, but in reality, the centurion is communicating through the messengers that he sent. And the reason he didn't come is because he didn't feel worthy to come. And we know that from verse 7. Read it. He says, "Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee." And so because he didn't feel worthy to come to Jesus, he sent Jews there, and the Jews said he's worthy. The Jews said he's worthy. And the reason they said he was worthy is because he loves our nation and he had built us a synagogue. He had done good things for them. You know, sometimes when God's little children are just doing what the Lord would have them to do, people will come up to them and brag all about them and say they're good people and how wonderful they've been and how good they are and everything that they've done. And in outward sense, yes, it's a beautiful thing. But you know what every one of those good acts did? You know what his actions were for? It wasn't so that he would be worthy to have fellowship with Jesus. It was that he would give honor and praise and glory to the God of the Jews. It wasn't that he just loved the Jews. He loved the God of the Jews, and therefore he loved the Jews, and he loved the synagogue, because that was a house of worship. That's where God was worshipped. That's what he loved. And though it seemed like he was doing, you know, sometimes we'll see somebody and say, "Well, they've done just great things for the church. They've been a benefit to the church." Well, what they and you go to them and say, "You've been a benefit to the church," and they immediately, if they're right, they'll immediately say, "Look, I've done nothing. I've been so blessed. I haven't done anything." And that's the way this man felt. In verse 6 he says, "Then Jesus went with them." When they asked him to come, Jesus came. Over in Matthew 8 it says, "And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." And listen, when Jesus said, "I will come and heal him," it's settled, doesn't it? Isn't that good to know? You know what Jesus has told us? That when we call on him, he'll be with us. When we need him, he'll supply what we need. When we ask him according to his will, if we knock, he'll open. If we seek, we'll find. If we call and trust in him, he will supply that which we stand in need of, where we can turn it over to the Lord. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You and I have every reason today just to be completely thankful, knowing God's got this. He's in control. He has my life. And that's where he said, "I will come and heal him." And Jesus went with him. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for get his words." The Jews said he was worthy. What did he say? This is what every one of us ought to be saying today. That's what we sang just before we started. He says, "For I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof." And we call on him to come to be with us today. We say, "Lord, we're not worthy. But don't come because we're worthy. Come because of thy grace. Lord, may thy presence be made manifest to us. You may feel like I don't deserve anything from the Lord." The answer to that is absolutely you don't. But it's never been about what you deserve. It's been about his grace. Aren't you glad salvation's not about merit, but salvation is by grace? There would be no hope for me. There would be no hope for you. There would be no hope for anyone if salvation was by merit. It's by grace, and he proves that right here. And then he says, "Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." You know who he saw Jesus to be right here? He saw him to be more than a man, because no man could say anything. The only way any man had ever done anything and had anything accomplished was to go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Father to do it. In other words, if I went to someone, I can go pray for them. You know, even when we talk about, would you bless the bread? A better word is, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the bread? Because no man, so though some men feel like they have the power and the ability to bless this or to bless that, we can only ask the Lord for a blessing, right? I can't bless anything. I can't heal anybody. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can go to the one who can speak and it'll stand fast. The one who has spoken the world into existence, who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Listen, your family in trouble, you take them to the Lord. He can take care of it. Your life in trouble, you take it to the Lord. He can take care of it. And not only can He, He's promised. He will come and He will take care of it. He'll do it in His way and in His time. Sometimes we have a little trouble with that, but that's our growth process also. And he says, "For I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." That's a statement of faith. Lord, all you have to do is say it, and it's going to happen. Do we believe that today? Can he do whatsoever he pleases? Or is our life not in his hands? The life of our children in his hands? Life, you ever worry a lot about your little ones? Worry about, and I'll tell you what, it's not going to get better. As they grow older, you're still worrying, aren't you? Going to continue to worry. And it seems like you have less control. Then you feel like you don't have control now. Hang in there a while. You have less yet. It's coming. It's coming. Less ability. But I'm telling you, we're trusting a God who doesn't lessen in ability. And when we turn it over to the Lord, He's able to take care of it. And that's why I can find comfort today. That's why I can find peace. When I'm trying to get things done and it isn't turning out right, I can rest in the Lord and turn it over to the Lord. I want to do that better. I want to encourage you to do that better. Why? Because it praises Him. And they that were sent. And when Jesus heard these things, He marveled at him. Oh, I want to get this. I got to get this verse. I know. Got a couple minutes. Y'all hang with me. "But say in a word, and thy servant shall be healed. For I also am a man sent under authority." Now he said, "I also." Who else is a man that was sent under authority? Jesus was God, but was he also man? Yes. Was he sent under authority? Absolutely. That means as man, as God, he needed no other authority because he was the Son of God. He had the power and proved it that he could speak here and heal. Just had to say it with the word. He proved it right here. So he was barely God. And this centurion is acknowledging that when he says, "You just say it and it'll happen." He didn't say, "If you'll ask the Father, it'll happen." He said, "You just say it and it'll happen." You know what he's saying right here? He's saying blasphemy. If Jesus isn't God, it would be blasphemy. But it's not blasphemy. You know why? Because Jesus was barely God. He was altogether God. He was the Son of God. He was the one with God. And he had the power to speak. He'd proven that by making the worlds. And he proved it again and again, even as he walked here in time. But he also was man, because he had to be man to die for a man. And he came under authority. That means he had to come at the will of the Father. Why did Jesus come down from heaven? Because the Father sent him. He said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." Sounds like he's under authority to me. And this is the will of the Father which has sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose a couple. Did he say that? No. Of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And you know what that means? What Jesus came for, he got. That was every one of his children. He got their body, their soul, and their spirit. He got them complete. He will not lose a one. He came under authority. The centurion was recognizing, I also am a man under authority, which means I'm below Caesar, and the tribute above me, and there are those above me, and I have soldiers under me. And he says, even in this position I'm in, where I've got men above me and I'm under their authority, and yet I have men below me, even in my position, I can tell them what to do. And just like the army, if they say you do it, you got to do it, or there's going to be consequences. They don't ask you, would you like to do it? They don't ask you. They just said, you do this, and you got to be done. Let me tell you, when Jesus commanded this palsy to leave this man, he just said, get out of here. And it had to go. Because he had the authority. This man said, I have the authority to speak, and it's done. You have the authority to speak, and you have authority over all things. I have a little bit of authority that I have, and there are those under me. You have all authority because you are verily God. And even as the Son of Man, he was under the authority of the Father, and he did everything that was in accord to the will of the Father, thereby being absolutely perfect so that he could be that sacrifice for our sins on the cross. A whole lot in that verse. Now, we'll leave it there. He says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people, I have said unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Where did his faith come from? The same place your faith came from. It's a gift of God. And he said, and they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Immediately, Jesus took care of the situation. This just tells us in our life, we're to have the faith of that centurion. The Lord's given it to us. We're to exercise that and use that and just trusting in the Lord. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. I appreciate your kind attention this morning.
Love you, my brother. God bless you. Pray for me.